Maybe you think about the question fairly often is how you can show the love of Christ to other people. The text that we have in front of us in Romans chapter 12, verse 12, is one of those texts in the Bible that whether you're extroverted, introverted, you know, whether you're really outgoing, super shy, you know, whether you like being up front, behind the scenes, whatever it is, you can follow through with these things, especially that last third exhortation that's in 12:12 of Romans. But it's suggesting that one of the important things that you can do to respond to what it says in verse 9, which says to your love must be sincere. That is, it must be real. Sometimes we hear about all different kinds of love. Usually it's a physical type of love. Usually it's something where somebody is looking what they can get out of the relationship or whatever it is. But here God is talking about what you can put into, how you can show his love to others. One of the things that Jesus has on his mind is through talking to him in prayer about needs, about challenges, about, you know, just simple words of praise as well. So here we are with these encouragements that we're going through that talk about how we can show love to each other. So the simple verse reads in verse 12, it says, rejoicing in hope, persevering in tribulation, and devoted in prayer. Now, this whole idea of being devoted in prayer has some attitudes that go along with it, you might say. This attitude of rejoicing or having joy with hope in Christ. Excuse me. That is, if you have an assurance as a believer that you are going to go be with God in heaven one of these days, then you have what the Bible refers to as this blessed hope, this certainty that when your time on earth is over, that you will in the next moment be translated to be with him in heaven. Now, the Bible talks about that as taking down a tent in one place and moving it to the other. Leaving like a ship does an anchor in a harbor and going to another harbor. It's just going to another place that God has prepared for you. But with that comes a special amount of hope. That is, I know Jesus is going to not just win, but I know he's going to complete his demonstration or the demonstration of his love. Hence, I can pray with that much more fervency, with that much more joy, because I know of what God is going to do in his love and how he's going to show it for, you know, eternity to come. So you have that attitude of joy, that attitude of rejoicing. So you love talking to Jesus Christ seated on the throne of grace about the needs that you see, about the issues, about the circumstances that your friends and you are facing. It also mentions this attitude or this spirit of perseverance in the midst of hard circumstances, in the midst of tribulation. He's talking about staying at it. He's not talking about praying once, and if the circumstances change, then you continue praying. He's talking about praying until something happens. That's what we do on Wednesdays. We have what we refer to as our push team, which stands for pray until something happens. And until God works in his timing and his providential care, he does what he chooses to do. So God is encouraging us with these attitudes of joy, that is the thrill of what we know someone we pray for can enjoy once they get to heaven, as well as this idea of being persevering and not giving up, continuing to hope, continuing to recognize that God is in control, being faithful at what we're doing in prayer. But that points us to that last little phrase, which is so important that these attitudes support. And it's talking about being devoted to something, that is, being devoted to prayer. Now, this idea of being devoted means to set apart for a special use, to set something apart for a special use. Now, it's a little bit different in prayer than it was in one of the Gospels, where, like in Mark chapter 3, verse 9, it talks about how there was a boat that Jesus had set aside for his use when he was talking to the people. That is, it was dedicated or devoted for him and his use. but the boat was just kind of sitting there. It wasn't doing anything, right? But with prayer, he's talking about you be devote yourself, set yourself aside to an ongoing process of prayer. And he wants you to understand that there needs to be dedication for an appointed time over this important issue. Now, he says to be devoted to it or set yourself aside to it because of all these things that we'll look at, but according to what it represents. Like you can see there in the outline, it talks about being devoted to prayer or to be devoted to prayer. You consider often the mercies of God, that is what God is doing in his mercy. Prayer is what God uses through his saints, through you and I, to bring his mercy to bear on the lives of other people, as well as his grace and his love and his other attributes. But you can pray these things into the life of, or pray that God will respond to a certain person, a certain set of circumstances, with a great amount of mercy. And certainly I'm thinking that you know people who need a bunch of mercy. Anybody who you know who has not accepted Christ as his or her personal Savior yet. I mean, all of you can easily, quickly name at least 10 people that do not know Jesus Christ as a personal Savior. And you also know the precarious situation they are in, having rejected the truth that's in Scripture, that's in the revelation from the planets and the stars circling about, that he put in order. All of that, it says in Romans chapter 1, verses 20, 19 and 20, leaves us without excuse, if you will, to, you know, as far as understanding that there is a true God in heaven and that there is somebody that we are accountable to. So he's saying, think often about the great things that are accomplished through the mercy of God, through God showing his compassion. Now, I don't know if you remember some of those mercy, compassion settings, even in the life of Jesus Christ. What did he do, for instance, when he, and we put in quotation marks, just happened to be entering the city of Nain as Imam, leading a funeral procession, was coming out of the town to what we would think of as a cemetery. Well, it says he had compassion or mercy on her, stopped her to encourage, and she acknowledged, this is my only son, and he did what? Raised him back to life and gave him back to her. You might recall another time where Jesus is looking out, and it says again that he had compassion on these people who were following him. Some of them were listening to his teaching and so on like that. And Jesus, it says, has compassion on them, seeing them as sheep without a shepherd, as scattered, as in need of truth, in need of his teaching, in need of his blessing, in need of his healing, in need of him casting out some of the demons that were possessing people that either them or ones that they knew. So, again, there's wonderful things that are accomplished through mercy, you know, and we're talking about this kind of mercy being so great because of who it is that holds the control to it. It's Jesus, the Son of God, and he has an unlimited amount of mercy that he can show. He can show it to the fullest extent of his ability, which is an unlimited ability to show mercy. He can work on, like you saw with the Apostle Paul in Acts chapter 9, the most hardened of hearts, like in the, who was Saul, who later became the Apostle Paul, and confronted him and compelled him to see that he needed to accept him as his personal Savior. So the encouragement is to be devoted to prayer as you consider the greatness of the mercy of God, and as you think about, well, what can God do in his mercy? Well, he can do a lot of things. He can help a lot of people. He can not give, that's what mercy is, not giving somebody something that they deserve, and in his grace, freely offer them something that they don't deserve or they have not earned. And so we pray for both mercy and grace, but the more you think about this great mercy of God, the more you will find yourself devoting yourself to it. That's why, you know, even in the early church, Acts chapter 1 verse 14 reads this way, And these were all of one mind, continually devoting themselves to prayer, along with women, Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. In Acts chapter 2, verse 42, it says they were continually devoting themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the breaking of bread, and to prayer. Acts chapter 6, verse 4 talks about, but they devoted themselves to prayer and to the ministry of the word, referring to these apostles. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2 says, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert with an attitude of thanksgiving. But all of these are being said, all these statements are being made, all these encouragements are being made, as whether it's Peter or whether it's Paul or one of the other apostles, they're thinking about what is accomplished through the great, incredible mercy of God. And maybe you have memorized, 1 Thessalonians 5:17, many years ago, which says, pray without what? Without ceasing. That is, never stopping. Why would you be encouraged to not stop praying? Because we need what God has, and we need specifically his mercy and his forgiveness. There's another reason it says to be devoted to prayer in Scripture. It says we must be aware in several passages also that we need to keep the way of God open through confession of sin. That is, we keep a special devotion to prayer like we prayed just moments ago. Like you read out of Psalm 51 with David. Psalm 32 verse 5 says, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you forgave the guilt of my sin. What does 1 John 1:9 say? You've memorized that before. If we confess our sins, what is he faithful and just to do? Forgive you of your sins and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. So devotion to prayer leads us to think about God's mercy. Devotion to prayer gets us to think also about our sinfulness and the need that we have to be forgiven from living in this sin-cursed world and from making certain decisions. Husbands are encouraged to love your wives in 1 Peter 3, verse 7, in an understanding way, so that your prayers are not hindered. Psalm 66, verse 18 says, if I regard wickedness in my heart, the Lord will not hear. What will he not hear? It's not just idle conversation about, you know, harvesting your crops or something like that. He's talking about hear your prayer time, that is, your petitions and your requests. And if we're over here harboring known sin in our heart and saying it doesn't matter. George Mueller, who was known for his trust in the Lord, who over in England was the founder of many orphanages over there that helped who knows how many thousands, tens of thousands of children over those days, said that reflecting on the Word of God helped him think about the mercy of God and encouraged him to go back to God in prayer for more confession of sin. He said in the last 20 years of his life, he found the need to read through the Scripture 4 to 5 times a year to keep the message of God's mercy and of his grace and what he's about rolling around in his mind all the time, so much so that he would translate that into a special devotion for prayer. There's other verses that Jesus highlights as well. Another reason to be devoted to prayer, we need to think about your absolute need for God in this world. You might remember the vine and the branches illustration that Jesus was using in John 15. But he says, I am the vine and you are the branches. And apart from me, you can do nothing. Now, I don't encourage you to go out there and break a branch off of one of our little precious little birch trees out there, or any of these things. But you know what is going to happen. If you take and snip off a branch of a tree, what stops the capillary action, right, of the water minerals flowing up through those tiny little fibrous tubes that go up through the tree trunk and out to the branches and out to the little twigs and out to the leaves, and it shuts down everything. The whole process of tree growth, photosynthesis, and all that kind of stuff gets shut down as well if the branch is cut off. And obviously the tree is not going to grow, it's going to die. And the same thing with us. If we are cut off from, if we're not connected to Jesus as the vine, if we're not receiving from him what he is giving us in terms of strength, in terms of wisdom, in terms of the divine ability to think and do things, the words to say, the ability to build things like the joy, patience, peace, the fruits of the Spirit into our life, then we will end up not being able to accomplish anything for him and for his glory, is the idea. For without me or apart from me, you can do nothing. You might remember what the angel Gabriel said to Mary. She asked him, how in the world can these things be since I am a virgin? How in the world am I going to have a child? And what does Gabriel say? You know, he says, hey, I've been standing before God of the universe. I've seen all kinds of things going on. With man, things are impossible, but with God, all things are possible, he says there in the first chapter of Luke. You can read some of these things online also about, there's this one guy, Charles Spurgeon, who was a pastor in a church over in London, England, and he writes, nothing sets a man more eagerly upon prayer than a deep sense of his need of that which he is seeking at the Lord's hand. That is, as you pray, Spurgeon was saying, it dials you into saying, you know what, without God's help, I'm not going to make it in this world. Without God's help, I'm not going to overcome this set of circumstances. Without God's help, I'm going to be an emotional wreck. Without God's help, I'm not going to know what to say. Without God's help, I'm not going to have the wisdom or the patience or whatever to respond in the right way to the situation that has started to develop at work, whatever it is. And he's saying there's nothing that sets a man or woman more eagerly upon prayer than a deep sense of his or her need. So what's the issue on the other side as to why sometimes we don't devote ourselves to prayer? Is that we don't see our need for God's help. Because we think, hey, things are going along fine just as they are, or I can handle this, or there's certain things I need to pray about, certain things I do not. One writer, in commenting about Jesus in prayer, said, if you know that you, like Jesus, can't do life on your own, then prayer makes complete sense. If we know we can't do life on our own, then prayer does make sense. If we think we can do life on our own, prayer does not make sense. And we don't devote ourselves to it. So the encouragement is to continue to do that. One parent of a autistic son that she was rearing said, until we became convinced that we can't change our child's heart, we will not take prayer seriously. There's probably not a parent on the planet that doesn't think. I was one of those who thought that if you just lay down sufficient rules and guidelines, if you have a certain number of devotional times with everybody, and maybe my mom felt the same way towards me and Stan and Tammy and Wendy, if we just keep reading the Bible enough or all those kind of things, then things will work out great. Now, those are certainly wonderful things to do, but it still requires a heart change. How do we alert God to the passion that we have for heart change for those around us? Well, it's through prayer and asking God to make the difference, to take the truth and apply the truth. We can read the truth to our kids. We can encourage them to think about the truth, but we cannot make them build the truth into their life. It has to be Jesus Christ or God that does all that, that makes the heart change. And it's the same way with you. I have not changed in any positive way, you know, because just because of the process of looking over Scripture. It's been because of, in answer to prayer, you know, from my mom and many other people along the way, where they have asked, you know, God, the Holy Spirit, to teach, to impress, to work that truth into my life so that it became a character trait, so that it became a principle by which I was living. One other thing that is there in Scripture that is really important to us as well is to be devoted to prayer. You need to consider what God can do through your faithful prayers. Now, we've been talking about this a little bit already, but think about over and over and over again every single day, what is it that God can do through prayer? Have you looked at various verses of Scripture? Have you thought about from time to time what is it that God is doing through answered prayer? Have you talked to people whose lives have been changed because of prayer? Have you looked at prayers like, you can turn to the right in your Bible, over to Philippians, a few books to the right, before you get into 1 and 2 Thessalonians and 1 and 2 Timothy, but over in Philippians chapter 1 and in Colossians chapter 1, there's a similar prayer. But notice it says, "And this I pray," Paul talking to the Philippians, "that your love may abound still more and more in real knowledge and in all discernment, so that you may approve the things that are excellent." That is, you may test them and know this is of God, or this is the wise truth that I need to abhor, "in order that you to be sincere and blameless until the day of Christ, having been filled with the fruit of righteousness which comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God." Over in Colossians chapter 1, just the next book over to the right, same verses, chapter 1, 9 through 11. It says, "For this reason, since also the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy." That's just talking about being obedient. "Walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His glorious might for the attaining of all the steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to God the Father, who is qualified to share in the inheritance with all the saints in light." Now, sometimes we grow up and we think, well, maybe that is to you or is not to you a significant list of things. But if you have a friend, if you're, you know, thinking, who is it that I link arms with? This is the kind of person. You know, this is the kind of person that we pray for on Wednesday night, that our college student will find out there on these campuses across the U.S. where they're going to schools, so that there can be a binding of hearts together and they'll be thinking about these spiritual things, growing in the knowledge of Christ. That's the kind of friends that we want to make so that we can be, you know, encouraged in the Lord a lot. These are the kind of things that we need so that we can benefit from them in our own neighborhoods and so on. But prayer is the thing that accomplishes that. We can pray these things, according to what Paul is saying, pray them into the life of somebody else. Now, if you're thinking about what kind of things would I ever ask somebody to pray for you about, I don't know if you've had the recent good pleasure of somebody saying to you recently, "Hey, how can I pray for you?" Well, here's a way. Colossians 1, 9 through 11, or Philippians 1, 9 through 11. Encourage them to read that verse and to pray that verse for you. You don't want them, you know, praying only about your, you know, financial need, although that is important, about, you know, relationship stuff. That is very important too, about how things are going at work. That's very important as well for strength for today. You want them praying also for this life change stuff that is happening on the inside. And it's not like God is daring us to ask somebody to pray that, but boy, He is strongly encouraging you. Ask somebody to pray for you according to this passage, because it accomplishes amazing things. Over in Psalm 81, verse 10, This was a famous promise that, again, that same guy, George Mueller, who was a great prayer partner for all those kids in the orphanage. And he says, it says, I, the Lord, in Psalm 81, I, the Lord, am your God, who brought you up from the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Now, that's talking about a wide variety of things in the language there, both in terms of food provision, but he's also talking about fill your mouth with words of prayer so you can pray to me in the language that I want to hear. Before we close, you probably have had no reason to get to know a woman by the name of Dorothy Clapp, who is a lot older, lived in Ramsey, New Jersey, not too far away, over towards New York City, in Ramsey, New Jersey. But this little woman, Dorothy Clapp, was a woman who decided she was going to start praying for the students at Ramsey High School, that God would save some, and that those students in turn would lead other kids to Christ. Well, along the way, there was this one young man that she had a chance to give a Gospel of John to, named George Verwer, V-E-R-W-E-R. I don't know how you pronounce that. But anyway, George received a Gospel of John from her. Later on, it says he went and heard guys like Billy Graham and Jack Wurtzen when they were in the area. He became a Christian in the years that remained of his high school, in his last 2 years, junior and sophomore year. It gives the account of him leading over 200 of his classmates to Christ at Ramsey High School. There must have been, can you imagine the spiritual change if 200 kids in the high school that your kids go to or the high school that you went to had become believers in a short period of time? That's an amazing amount. And George went on from there and started Operation Mobilization, which was a ministry for teenagers to go and get training and then go out on these short-term mission projects and do amazing things, whether they're building things, VBS-type things, or whatever it is, all around the world. And that ministry is still going on today. Why did that happen? Because God chose to hear the prayers of little Dorothy as she walked around Ramsey High School in Ramsey, New Jersey. And that's one kid from one school in this little state of New Jersey that made such a huge difference. I don't know how often you pray for the kids at a high school near you or an elementary school or whatever it is near you. If you happen to be driving by a school, maybe you wonder how many of these kids are going home to a home where they know and love Jesus, and you pray for God to reach these kids as you're driving by so that as they come screaming out of that place, they can, you know, they are moving into family life that has a connection with Christ. In closing, turn back to the middle of your Bible to Psalm 107. We'll have this as our last verse that we look at, Psalm 107, verses 28, 29, and 30. Well, Psalm 107 is all about these cycles in the life of Israel. They were blessed by God. They took God for granted. They fell into sin. Oppression got so hard that they had to repent of their sin, get back right with God, and so on. So that happens over and over again. One of them sounds like this. It says in verse 28 of 107, "Then they cried to the Lord in their trouble, and he brought them out of their distresses. And he caused the storm to be still, so that the waves of the sea were hushed. Then they were glad because they were quiet, so he guided them onto their desired haven." That sounds a little bit, doesn't it, about like Jesus asleep in the boat, or the other occasion when he came walking on the water in a storm on the Sea of Galilee. But nonetheless, it says God heard their cry. The ears of the cry of the Israelites from captivity or from slavery came, and they have landed on the ears of God, and he sends Moses in answer to prayer. I don't know if you have thought about influencing the life of someone through prayer? Now, our little mystery packets of info about kids down in Guatemala has somehow been mislocated, but we will have them back there for you next week as well. And I still want you to consider how you can reach the world through supporting another little boy or girl. It's something that creates a relationship. Letters start flowing from them to you and you to them. Great opportunities, but you have the opportunity to change the life of a person around the world somewhere. Many of these kids do not have Christian parents, and so they don't have, humanly speaking, the hope of receiving testimony from their own family. But they will, through one of these workers that goes and visits and checks out and sees how they're doing and ministers to them and shares the love of Christ. And just like this little dude, Rajabu, over in Uganda that I've been supporting and praying for, he has heard the gospel. His dad is of a Muslim background, but he is hearing about Jesus Christ because of the support and because of the missionary work that's going on through World Vision. Pray about that one more week. It's $35 a month. If you like to sell wood, there's a few trees out here on this 10 acres. I'm not saying we're going to cut down every last blessed one of them, but Dee could verify that her son, that's where I get a lot of my wood. I just pull up into Andy's back pasture and fill up my trailer since it's all free. It's just laying there. He wants you to come and cut it up, and then you go and sell it, and the selling of the wood translates into support of Rajabu or somebody else that we're going to do. So I want to encourage you to think about how you can re-energize your prayer life, how you can make a difference in your own family and in the lives of somebody else. And will you take on some set of circumstances in prayer? I have gone both ways in my life. Got frustrated with something, saying there's no way I'm going to let those guys do that, and tried to address it physically, writing letters, you know, forcing my presence upon something or some situation. That doesn't work. It's God's work through the hearts of people that makes all the difference. So I want to encourage you to re-energize and become devoted. Set yourself apart to prayer so you can be like a little Dorothy over in Ramsey, so you can be like George, who is... organization is still changing thousands and thousands of kids and winning many, many more to Christ every single year. I want you to bow in prayer and think about just a few of the circumstances. Maybe some of the relationships that you have, parenting-wise, whatever, are not what you have envisioned them to be. You want them to be more God-honoring. You want them to be more of encouraging. Maybe there's somebody that's struggling with stuff. Maybe it's a subject at school. We pray for people in our family about subjects at school that they're going to be wrestling with in the summertime and so on. And I want to encourage you to just make a difference in somebody's life through prayer. Talking to the God of the universe, it is amazing what he can do and is able to do.